Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another Biz Connect, a radio show today with myself, Martin White. Thank you so much for tuning in. We haven't been on the airwaves for a little while. We've had an extended summer break, so it's great to be back. We've also got some international listeners that I want to mention and give a shout out today. We've got the wonderful Daria from Bodrum, and also Mustafa from Bodrum as well. And we also have Gabby from Venezuela tuned in today. So we really have got an international show, as well as obviously you, our listeners in Ashford. So welcome to the show today, everybody. You can follow us on social media. We have a Twitter handle at Kent_Biz. We also have dedicated LinkedIn and Facebook show pages. Please search for Biz Connect Radio Show and follow us there. And we also have our own website, so you can find out more information on today's guests and also upcoming show dates and future guests at kentbizconnect.co.uk. If you're an Ashford-based business, we'd love to invite you onto the show as well. So do get in touch with us on one of the aforementioned, and we'll see if we can book you into a future show date. I think without further ado, we need to introduce today's show guests. We've got a renewable energy and cost-saving energy show theme today, and we've got two super guests with us in the studio, and I think it's time that they introduce themselves. So to my right, we have
Jonathan Howes from SGS Energy.
Jonathan, welcome to the show. And to my left,
Oliver Tucker from Green Bulb Energy.
Oliver, welcome to the show as well.
Thank you.
So hopefully we're going to be answering some of your questions around renewable energy, what's available, is it going to save me money, all sorts of topics that we're going to cover today on a commercial and residential level as well. So do stay with us. I think what we're going to do now is we've got a couple of music tracks that we're going to play for you. Normally I would invite our guests to choose those tracks, but as they didn't, I've had to choose some cheesy tunage on their behalf today, so don't blame them, blame me. So we'll be right back after this. Welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Biz Connect radio show today. As we were saying before the break, we're delighted to have two super guests in the studio with us. We have Jonathan Howes from SGS Energy Saving Solutions and Oliver Tucker from, oh, something's going on outside, there go the police, and Oliver Tucker from Green Bulb Energy in the studio. That's the beauty of live radio, guys, isn't it? You just never quite know what's going to happen. Jonathan, if we can start with you, please tell us all about your company SGS and the renewable energy services that you offer commercially, I think, but also for residential customers as well.
Yes, Matt. SGS was set up in 2010 under the name Sun God Solar, and was actually originally just a solar PV company. I've brought heat pumps to the company, MVHR, mechanical ventilation heat recovery, thermal energy storage systems, battery storage, EV chargers, and a number of other different services over the years. It was at Sun God Solar to begin with, and I've changed the name of it to SGS Energy 5 or 6 years ago. And we run, me and my brother run the company together, and we've been running it for quite a few years now. We are multi-disciplined, and basically we are a professional renewable energy company that doesn't just look to solve one issue using solar, but we like the idea of multiple different services to create a sort of a holistic view, sort of place in your home or whether it's your business for renewable energy.
Brilliant. Thanks for that. Fantastic. So what's it like running a company with your brother, first of all? How does that work?
It doesn't work.
It does work, actually. No, it's lovely to have someone you can trust.
Okay.
Implicitly. Also, though, it's very easy to end up in arguments, which are always good fun. But me and my brother, we don't fall out. We will have different opinions on how we want to move forward, or how we want certain processes to taken place. But fundamentally, we have the same goal. And a difference of opinion is great for a business like ours. And like I said, having someone you can trust running a business of this size is great for both of us.
The thing I really like about what you were saying in the intro there was just, yeah, how long you've been around for doing this, because it's a pretty new industry, isn't it, in many respects, and it's quite a new space, and we were talking off air about the fact that it's continually changing as well, you know, week to week, and so, you know, you need to be up with the kind of the latest technology and solutions that are out there, and the fact that you've been around for so long really gives people peace of mind that actually you know what you're talking about and you are the go-to experts.
I personally started doing renewables over 20 years ago. Wow. as a young apprentice who was doing a gas and heating apprenticeship. I was very lucky to be introduced to solar thermal at the age of 20. And my renewable energy journey started then, really. So people used to laugh at me as well about what I was doing. Not so much laughing anymore, but, you know, and everyone sort of jumped on board. And yes, 15 years for a renewable energy company in the industry, we're now considered the old boys. So yeah, no, but it's all good. And it's nice to, weirdly enough, it's nice to be considered an older company within a sort of the renewable industry.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Good. So let's get down to the crux of it. And I'll give you an example here. So I've just been told that my monthly Energy Direct debit is going to go up from £132 to £218 at the end of October. So I've got a dual fuel set up there with my energy provider. I'm not on a fixed tariff. I haven't done that. So there's a couple of things at play here. Presumably, obviously, I'm going to be using more energy during the winter. So that's a given. But there's also this kind of energy price cap as well that kind of fluctuates and goes up according to the wholesale price of gas as well, which we're all kind of susceptible to. So when it comes to thinking about how I can insulate myself, for want of a better word, a bit of a pun there, from these kind of price rises on an annual basis, how can renewable, you know, play a role in my home in terms of my future energy needs, Jonathan? What should I be thinking about in terms of bringing that kind of monthly direct debit down?
For me, I'm a true believer in fabric first. So looking at the fabric of the building, making improvements where you can. And we're not talking about taking your whole building apart, your whole house, but where it is practicable to actually make some improvements, whether that's loft insulation, cavity wall insulation. I know we were talking before that, you know, cavity wall is a bit controversial with some people. But loft insulation, external wall insulation, upgrading of windows, more air tightness throughout the house, more insulation. So for me, that's where I personally would start. Yeah. Everything from that, then the technology that we come along with SGS Energy is to then reduce what how you're producing that energy. So we're using solar power, battery storage, produce free electricity, and then store it. You can then also get onto a dual tariff where you can pay a cheaper rate at certain hours during the nighttime. Octopus and a number of other different utility companies have different options, but that's also a good way to reduce your energy costs. Heat pumps, if you're doing a new build, looking at ventilation is really important. Mechanical ventilation heat recovery, known as MVHR, is a way of just reusing that energy that you're traditionally we're just chucking out, whether that's through the heat from our bathrooms, the heat from our kitchens, utility rooms. With the MVHR, we reuse that heat, clean it up, pump it back into the house. Mm-hmm. So it's not a one approach is going to work here. It is a multiple different approach, and perfection is not required either. Just getting things as good as you possibly can and using that to move forward.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is initially, you know, as homeowners, we need to be thinking about how well our homes are ultimately insulated.
Absolutely, yeah. You can't, I kind of say to people, you know, you need to be insulated as much as you possibly can. And you need to be as draft-proof as you possibly can. Yeah. There's no way we can heat a sieve.
Yes, exactly.
So I was just going to add a point to that. So just thinking about air source heat pumps, I think there has been a bit of abuse in the UK because of the grant going around, and it's nice and refreshing to hear someone like Jonathan talk about the holistic approach on every single property. And coming back to your personal case, I don't know if, correct me if I'm wrong, Jonathan, but the battery storage is becoming almost as important as or key as the actual solar panels,
yeah.
because we've got this dual energy costing program, and we've got one of the highest energy rates in the world.
Yeah,
in the developed world. So I think that's worth noting.
That's a really good point. So recently, I have acquired an EV, and I know you drive one as well, Jonathan.
Yep.
And I'm able to charge that, for example, on 7 pence a kilowatt hour off peak during the night on an anytime kind of tariff there. Thinking about that kind of, you know, what Ollie was saying in terms of storage, in theory, I could actually use that off peak tariff to store cheaper energy during the night through some kind of battery installation, and then use that to power my home at peak times, couldn't I?
That's absolutely correct, Martin. You can. There is so much savings now to be made, and actually, Oliver's right. Storage is key. In some instances, storage comes before the actual solar, and it's not. It's as we move forward in the years. The idea that we're, you know, at the moment we're shutting down wind turbines because we've got nowhere for the energy to go. We are using taxpayers' money to pay the wind turbine companies to not operate.
Yeah.
How ridiculous is that?
70% of the time, $1 billion a year. It's costing us currently projected $8 billion in a few years. So it's, yeah.
We are now looking at the inset of virtual power plants. We're looking at community coming together with storage of energy. We're looking at, so the way we buy and store and the energy market, the way we look at it today, in 5 years time we won't recognize it.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay. So in terms of, I mean, that's a really interesting point. So, you know, we shouldn't necessarily be thinking about I've got to have, you know, solar panels installed on my roof, but, you know, going back to what you were saying, we need to think a little bit more holistically about, you know, how we consume energy in terms of, you know, not wasting it, clearly through, you know, more efficient insulation, but also, you know, how we source it and how we store it as well. And we, as consumers, we all need to be a little bit more savvy in terms of, you know, tapping into opportunities like that, having a battery wall perhaps installed at home that we can use to then, you know, as I said, power our house much more cheaply.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've all now got dishwashers that have got timers on them or that are connected to your phone, washing machines that are connected to your phone. Pretty much everything that we use in our homes or even in, you know, on commercial premises is connected through some sort of timing system. There is a lot of technology out there that will allow the operation of certain stuff in your property to come live when there's enough solar going. So, like for me at home, my washing machine's programmed to come on at 11 o'clock. My washing machine then comes on at 12:30. So I know my hot water's then done at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So I know generally that if I'm going to get the most of my free energy from the sun, yeah. I'm going to be utilising it. We're not so interested in putting energy back onto the grid anymore.
No.
It's all about the storage, mm-hmm. the utilisation, whether that's through batteries, energy diverters, put your car, the EV car, 75 kilowatts of power into that, and you've got sitting on your driveway.
Yeah.
And pump it in there.
There's a behaviour that occurs when people get into solar and battery storage. Once they've got it up and running, they tend to really dig into the nitty gritty, and then they discover their own energy consumption behaviour and data and things like that, and they go all in, which is very interesting.
It's very true, and also that data you talk about on the apps is key to giving people the why or the why not to invest more.
Yeah.
So that's how SGS Energy, we are always saying to people, look, don't go. You don't have to go crazy. You don't have to go mad with battery storage. Start off small. Start off with 5 kilowatts.
Yeah. Yep.
And 5 kilowatt hours in your house. Yeah. Use that 12 months worth of data to see whether you need another battery or whether you don't need another battery. It works. The data works both ways. It either gives you the why or the why not. We're very much data driven. Solar and battery storage is not. You don't need
Fantastic.
Clever sales techniques.
Fantastic to hear that, because we'll get onto this in a minute, but there are a lot of solar companies. We're still kind of like 3 or 4 years ago, there were a lot of cowboys coming into the solar space, and solar still has, and I know you're doing, you know, air source heat pumps, we do HVAC as well, but it still has not a bad image, but we're kind of still in that cowboy area, and anything above 50 kilowatts in a commercial solar project, it's not in no man's land, but there are guidelines, and it's not strictly MCS requirements anymore. So just got to be mindful of that, and hearing Jonathan talk about data, I think that is key. Sometimes we won't sign up a commercial project mm-hmm. unless we've had all the data, and sometimes it's painful. It takes 3-4 months. If they've just ordered 10 EVs for the company, the data is going to be different. We have to be disciplined and diligent mm-hmm. to actually provide them with the right solution. And then from there onwards, it can take 6 months to 12 months. We'll happily dive into the data after that. And that fills the client with confidence, and it fills us with confidence as well when we're providing these kind of solutions. So, yeah, that's nice to hear that, Jonathan. Yeah, we're aligned on that.
So, I mean, essentially we're talking about, saving ourselves money by being a bit more savvy in terms of how we procure and use our energy at home, and how we store it, crucially, going forwards as well. And Jonathan, in the kind of commercial space, does the same apply? Does the same kind of logic and thinking apply in terms of the approach, or are we looking at more of an opportunity to actually, deliver energy through a big solar installation, for example, because there's a big roof space, and therefore, you know, the savings are going to be that much more? How does it work in a commercial sense?
The commercial solar is really where the industry's at the moment. It's all been about residential for the last sort of 15 years, but now the commercial solar is really coming to the forefront. It's never been as cheap to install commercial solar. Also, when we got the Future Home Standard that's coming in 2027, a lot of people only believe that's for residential homes, but it's actually for commercial units as well. So those that are building new commercial units will have to put solar on it. I think at the moment it's 40% of all roof space, of the available roof space, will have to be filled up on all new commercial units. Everyone who's, if leases are running out, new leases, buildings will have to brought up to a current standard. And that's not just solar we're talking about there. We're talking about insulation of these commercial properties. Cool. So it, in regards to commercial solar, these businesses really do make the most of it, with the storage as well. So many companies are moving over to electric vans, electric delivery. Yeah. Everything is being electrified.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So the more you can produce, and the more you can predict, a lot of companies we speak to, one of the questions is, what percentage do you think your electricity requirements are going to extend over the next 5, 10, 15 years? And when you dig down into it, they go, oh, we don't know, Companies are looking at, 25, 30, 40, 50% more energy requirements. Yes. Just because they're electrifying. Now, that's good. It sounds a bit negative that they're going to have more. But actually, when we're taking things away from the grid, when we're taking we're not using gas, and everything is working towards one common interest. And that's not just saving the planet either. Let's be real with commercial. It's about
Jonathan.
Money.
Jonathan.
It is. Yeah. And let's not pretend that. But once again, commercial solar is driven, data-driven.
Yeah.
And anyone out there who's running their own business or building it, they really seriously should look at the mathematics.
And just to bounce off what Jonathan just said, I think it's important to... There are a lot of people that are still kind of on the fence. For some context, the prices have come down by about 100% over the past 10 years. They're creeping back up now with everything going on in the world, but it's still a fantastic time to get in. And the same financial mechanisms of, return on investment and the ways we calculate how profitable or, over what length of time we'll get our money back can be applied to the residential market as well. If we sent out a proposal 6-7 years ago, you'd be on probably 12 years return on investment, 10 to 12 years. Now we're on 7 years. On average for residentials. On commercial, it's anywhere between 3 and 5 5 years. So, yeah.
Some down to 2 years now.
Yeah.
Amazing depending on how quick your investment can come back to you.
I think what we're going to do, we're going to play a little bit more music, and then, Ollie, we're going to bring you into the conversation properly, because I know the commercial space is very much where you're kind of at the moment.
That's
in terms
it.
Of working
Correct.
with businesses as well. So do stay with us. We're going to play another track. We've got Frankie Goes to Hollywood, The Power of Love, and we'll be right back after that. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to the BizConnect radio show today. We've just been talking with Jonathan Howes at SGS Energy Saving Solutions all about the different options that are available to residential customers at the moment when they're thinking about how they procure their energy, how they store their energy, how they pay for their energy, and how much ultimately. And Jonathan, I just wanted to kind of summarise that conversation before we talk to Ollie in a bit more detail, if we can, in terms of, you know, the approach that you're advocating, which is very much, you know, understand whether you've got a leaky sieve as a house, as you put it, in terms of, you know, what does my insulation look like, fabric first, before I can then start thinking about, you know, investing in a renewable energy solution, whether that might be solar or some kind of storage solution, for example, where you can charge, you know, batteries off peak, you know, from the grid at a much reduced rate. We're going to talk about heat pumps as well in a minute, but Jonathan, just give us a shout out for your website, if you can, where people can find out more information.
Yeah, if you'd like to find out a bit more information, it's sgs-energy.co.uk.
Brilliant, fantastic. And, you know, you're obviously here for the rest of the show, and we're going to talk to you at the end. We have to fall off your chair. Live radio again, folks. Johnny smashed it. Fall off his chair.
Put the vodka down. Give it here.
Right, I think what we're going to do now, Ollie, I think this is a great time to bring you into the conversation.
Time is to move
pass us the bottle.
I'm Jonathan.
I knew that pop up on the thing we're going to go on with.
So tell us about your company, Greenbulb. You work primarily in the commercial space to help businesses save money on their energy bills, and your business model is therefore quite different to SGS in that you act more as kind of technical consultants, I think it's fair to say, in the first instance. So just introduce Greenbulb to us, Ollie, and what you're all about. Then.
So, yes, thank you, Martin. So Greenbulb Energy, based in the southeast Kent, we're a leading provider of renewable energy solutions in the UK, focusing on commercial and residential properties. Now, we're probably doing about 5 to 10% of residential properties, because we just get more demand on the commercial side. I think Jonathan mentioned it earlier on. It's a very hot market at the moment, so there's a lot of demand. Our mission is to simplify the transition to clean energy by offering solar panels, battery storage, EV charging solutions, but also HVAC solutions. We noticed that many commercial kind of entities we were talking to had obviously HVAC systems in place, some of them very old, and the holistic approach that we have is very much ventilation, HVAC and solar. And just to give you some kind of figures, we look at about 50% of our commercial properties on both sides, so HVAC and commercial.
So just by HVAC, we're talking about heating, ventilation and air conditioning.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's coming up massively in the UK market, in the world market actually.
So when you take a call, you know, from a kind of prospective commercial customer, what is it that they're kind of dialed into in the first instance? Is it about saving their business money? Is it about insulating themselves from the kind of the vagaries of the kind of the wholesale? Yeah.
Really good question. Now, if you would have asked me that question 6 months ago, it would have been different. It was very much based on financials. Now we are talking to companies that only want or need about 100 or 200 panels, but they have to do something, otherwise they will not be able to buy, for example, in their supply chain, they won't be able to buy little plastic bits to be able to do their products, basically. So that's pressure coming from below. Mm. So it's actually, it's someone selling to that company saying, we won't sell these little plastic bits to you anymore if you can't demonstrate you're doing your bit.
Really?
So they're willing to lose money, and this is on a very small scale. So on a bigger scale, you can imagine what's going on.
Mm-hmm. So there's this direct supply chain pressure now in terms of, you know, our customers, you know, and that's a really interesting point. So, you know, we can't be a net zero business unless our customers are also aligned.
Yeah. And it affects the whole supply chain. I mean, if you look at the NHS, it's increasingly hard to to operate as you did 24 months ago, because there's mounting pressure, which is a good thing.
So and that's a really good point, isn't it, as well? Because it's kind of inwritten in commercial, you know, commercial contracts now as well, and kind of, you know, bid requirements. I do a lot of work in the construction industry, and, you know, they have to be able to demonstrate a commitment to a net zero roadmap, you know, by 2050 at the latest, because that's what we're all ultimately moving towards in the commercial commercial space.
Exactly. And but it's also about educating the commercial prospect or client about the financials.
Right.
So what options do they have? There are many out there now. We're in a fantastic time, not only because prices have come down globally, but also there are financial products that have been re-engineered that weren't in the market 24 months ago, or rather they were, but they were only for big installers or big consulting companies that are doing, you know, 50 million in turnover. Now we have access to these financial products, and therefore these smaller projects do have access to these financial products.
So in the past, would, you know, financing, you know, a solar solution, for argument's sake, would that have been a barrier to entry in terms of, you know, accessing a renewable kind of solution like that?
Yeah, completely. Okay. I'll give you an example. Again, about at least 50% of the commercial prospects we're talking to at the moment have said, and I think it's more, you know, 60, 65%, yes, we've had a proposal in the past. When was it? 3 years ago? Okay. So we start everything off with a consultant consultation phase. You know, help us understand why you didn't go ahead. Mm-hmm. Was it logistics? Was it financials? Was it, you know, legals? Most of the time it was financial, because it is still a financial barrier, and we are currently in a good position for commercial kind of clients to go ahead. They have all the instruments and ingredients to do so. However, we've just entered a very challenging business environment. So businesses are thinking about what's going to happen in 2, 3, 4 years. But because we have these financial products, we can tailor these products to their solutions.
So let's talk about some examples there. What are we ultimately talking about in terms of the types of solutions that might help us, you know, not have to fork out tens of thousands.
So this applies to the residential market now, because the prices have come down. And I'll illustrate this with an example. It'll probably be the easiest thing for the listeners. So, you know, we can do a 200 panel solution on a farm, for example. We're going to take their bills down, or projected, you know, projections. We're going to take their bills down from £3,000 per month to £1,500, thanks to those, you know, 200 panels from day one. Mm-hmm. Now, if we can find an asset finance loan, for example, that's smaller than those £1,500 monthly savings, we're in business. They're going to be cash flow positive. They're financing it from a bank or from an asset finance company that we can put them in touch with, and all of a sudden they get the best of both worlds. They have a 50 grand project up there. They haven't put a penny down, including surveys, and they're cash flow positive. And after 6 or 7 years, their bills will come dramatically down, because they won't be paying that asset finance over 7 years. Okay, so that's just one example, and that can be applied to the residential market. If you're paying £200 per month, so you've got a six bedroom property, you've got three kids, if you can get a loan for, you know, £125 per month over 5 years, unsecured, by the way, you know, you can do that. And you bring your bills down from £200 to £30, your loan is smaller than the 170. You're cash flow positive. Why would I put £7, £8, £9 grand in? I mean, that's a personal decision, but
so my own personal example there, you know, going up from 130 to 220 nearly.
So come and see us. Come and see us, Martin,
example,
after the show.
Yeah. Okay, so exactly. It really is as simple as that. It's about understanding, you know, what your kind of energy consumption looks like, what your alternative energy consumption will look like in terms of, you know, how much it's going to cost you on the back of a solution.
And also it gets the prospect to, they have to do their homework on where are we going to be in 5 years and 10 years time. As Jonathan was saying earlier on, it's all about the data. Am I going to have 2 EVs, 3 children? Two extensions, you know, all that is very, very important at the beginning of the conversation.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay. Good. So in terms of this kind of ROI calculation, you know, when we're talking about, you know, in a commercial sense, it might be 5 to 8 or 10 years kind of payback. How do kind of businesses view that? Are they do they view that positively, or are they think, you know, are they looking that far ahead?
They are, but again, it depends. Every business has their different journey. They have their different goals. I do think that with these, again, coming back to these financial products, it gets them to reflect on, you know, do I need the cash flow over the next 3 years? Mm-hmm. Because the truth is, there are only three ways, mainly of buying commercial solar. The first way is money out of your pocket. I pay for it, and that's the highest upfront. That's the highest return on investment. You're looking at 3 years, 4 years, 2 years. The second way to pay for it is asset finance. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the return on investment isn't as good, because obviously you've got a funder. Yeah. It could be a bank, could be an asset finance company. So the return on investment's still very good, and you're not putting any money down, but you've got to give a bit to the funder.
Sure.
And the third way of paying for it is what we call the power purchase agreement, the PPA in short. So the power purchase agreement is a revolution here. I mean, it's been around for years. It's been very present in the Australian and American markets. It's been present in the UK for a few years. Now it's being tailored to smaller businesses and smaller clients. So a PPA is the commercial client's going to lease the roof to the funder. The funder's going to put the money in, and the business owner benefits from a reduced energy cost per kilowatt. Now, that is a fantastic win-win-win scenario. All you need is a great team to install it, do all the paperwork, and the PPA provider, so the funder, will take liability for the maintenance for the 15 years. So there's no going wrong here. However, the only downside is that the return investment isn't as good, obviously, because it's being financed by the funder. So
it would certainly still tick the box in terms of my supply chain or my clients and customers.
Absolutely. So they won't even know that you're
still going to pay less money as well. Jonathan, you want
to
come
in? Yeah, can I just add to the PPAs as well? For those companies that don't have the cash flow at the moment, PPA is a really good way to get started, because in a lot of the PPA contracts, you do have the option to buy the system back off the PPA funders.
For £1.
Most of the time. Some of them do. So some of the suppliers, the investors will give you the opportunity during that time to actually purchase that system. So it's just, it gets the ball rolling. It's doing something rather than nothing.
Absolutely.
Ollie, just give us a shout out for your website, if you can, how commercial customers out there can kind of get in touch with you and book that consultation.
Yeah, so www.greenbulbenergy.com. So greenbulb-energy.com, based in Sandwich, but we operate nationally.
Fantastic, great. I think what we're going to do, we're going to play a little bit more music, and when we come back, I'd like to bring the two of you together just to kind of bring all of this to a conclusion in terms of recommended next steps, whether you're a residential customer or a commercial customer. So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this.
Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Welcome back, everybody, to the final part of the Biz Connect radio show today. I think we've had a fascinating conversation with our two guests, Jonathan Howes from SGS Energy Saving Solutions and Oliver Tucker from Greenbulb Energy today, all around how people and businesses need to think more commercially, I think it's fair to say, in terms of how much energy they're consuming, how they might save money on their energy bills. What the one thing we haven't covered, Jonathan, is heat pumps. And I'd just like to take a moment, if we can, in your words, to just kind of explain how heat pumps work and why they're not necessarily the best solution in the first instance for everybody.
So heat pumps, in general, a quick synopsis of heat pumps is your refrigerator in your house in reverse, fundamentally, and it's no more complicated than that. The technology's been around for donkey's years. Countries like Norway have been installing heat pumps into houses that suffer temperatures as low as minus 20 for years. So the technology's sound. The problem this country has at the moment is some of our built properties aren't up to scratch In regards to installing heat pumps, the government actually have done a really good job with the boiler upgrade scheme, which you can get up to £7,500 for your property towards the install. That, the idea of that was to bring it in line with the boiler exchange price, which is roughly about £3,000 if you have it done properly. So where the heat pumps are going to win is definitely on the new builds. Anything that's been built in the last 30 years, it's really easy. The way to a successful heat pump installation is through a through a heat loss survey, and I'm not talking about something that's just done off the back of an EPC. I'm talking about something where someone turns up at your house, measures rooms, collects all that data, puts it into the software, and out will come what radiators you've got installed are suitable, where you need to do upgrades. It will give you the information you need for a successful heat pump installation. Yeah. And my advice to people is that's where you really need to start. Pay the money for that, because once again, the devil's in the detail. And if you get that detail correct with the heat pumps, and you get engineers installing it that understand flow, pipe sizing, flow, airflow, you will, and delta T's, but we don't have time to delve into delta T's at the moment, but that's for another show. We can make any property suitable for a heat pump, and we can install it into any property. It's the details, the devil's in the details.
Because otherwise, you might just be opening yourselves up to a massively increased inflated electricity bill, for example.
Absolutely.
On a monthly basis, because this thing's wearing away in the background 24/7.
Overworking,
and your house is never getting any warmer because it's leaking.
An oversized heat pump is as bad as an undersized heat pump. But it's the same with a gas boiler, though. You know, if people monitored their gas usage like we monitor our electric usage, and if gas was more expensive, you soon would see a lot of people with boilers kicking and screaming like you do with people who have had a misfitted heat pump.
Yeah, okay, brilliant. Guys, I can't believe it. I wanted to cover off some other stuff as well in terms of kind of crystal ball.
We'll be back in 2 weeks, Martin.
I think we need a part two for this, don't we? There's so much to be talked about.
We've got the code to get in the building.
Yes, come help yourselves. It's a massive area. There clearly is a kind of technical side to it as well. But I think, you know, the message I'm hearing is that, you know, whether you're a business or a consumer, you know, residential customer, you know, do your due diligence in terms of what's out there, what might work for me. It doesn't have to be a solar solution. It doesn't have to be a heat pump. It might be a combination of both of those.
Or thermal energy storage systems. Right. Yeah, a whole nother show for you.
It could well be as simple as a battery storage solution, enabling you to access cheaper off-peak electricity through your provider, and then a diverter, as you say, to kind of power your home systems through that, for example. So plenty to think about. Thank you so much for being with us today in the studio.
You're very welcome.
We do have to bring the show to a close. We will be back in a couple of weeks with two more super new guests. But until then, thank you so much for tuning in and listening. And we're going to play the news for you now on the top of the hour. And then I think we've got some playlists actually from October 2009 that we're going to be running. So thanks again, and we'll be with you again very soon.